Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
See?
All right, I heard we're recording right out of the gate. That's good. Good news. We're starting off right on the right foot.
We're recording. We're in session. Welcome back to The Sportsman. Another episode here, folks. We're starting to hit a bit of a groove. We're getting a little more consistent for you. We told you we would, and here we are. Cutsy, yeah, man, how you doing?
None of our words. Buddy? You're looking good in the teal. I don't know if this is going to be on YouTube or not, but if you are, I think both of us are looking pretty snazzy today. I mean, Ticket with the baby turquoise blue rollback hoodie there, looking very sharp. I don't need to speak for myself. I always come out looking good. So I'm ready to run this thing.
All the nice things I have are gifts from you and Bob. I mean, they're like the hand-me-downs in the mail when you're like,
by the way, I'm about to literally get garbage bags of clothing and put them to Goodwill. So, I mean, I wish you were here because there's going to be a lot of good polos and golf items that are going to be handed out to the rest of the world. Just passed on. I'm ready now to do a spring cleaning, and I have got just shit everywhere. And now with all this time, I've got to actually like do things that I've put off for like a year at least.
Remember when me and Bob were both poor and it wasn't just me, and we used to come over to your place and you'd have so much extra shit, especially from when you were, you know, a little thinner.
Bob was grabbing shit like
we would come and just pick through, and you know, every once in a while I'd be like, I want that. Well, I want that.
You're looking at like a 20, 30 pound, a little bit lighter cutsy that back then.
And we would just rummage through, and now he just gets shit sent to him, as do you. Would be looking good in the smart water fit.
I actually might have one for you.
Oh, you would be a king.
Yeah, they send me a bunch of stuff. I have a couple extra. I don't know, what size are you normally? Large?
I fluctuate, usually a large. Dude, every time I tune into the Brilliantly Dumb Show, I'm like, these guys are dressing better and better. Bob's got a new fly-ass hat every single week. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Pretty soon this guy's going to be showing up on the podcast wearing Balenciaga and fucking Gucci. The deals this guy is signing, I tell you. I'm not far back. I mean, you know. Our Brilliantly Dumb page is starting to do numbers. Like, you know, we talk about the 400 faithful, which, by the way, I cannot speak higher of the 400 faithful. So many people reached out to me, and I think you as well.
That's right, a ton.
After last week's episode, maybe it's because we were just so sporadic with the shows for the last few weeks that we came on, and people were just showing love, and it lit a fire in me, Tick. It really, really lit a fire in me. Because like on the flip side of things, like I was going to say, the Brilliantly Dumb page, the podcast is fucking booming. But I want to get this little fucking podcast and I want to expose it to the world. I really do. I think we have something very special here.
I think we do too. And I want to speak more on that. But you know who's running the Brilliantly Dumb pod page?
I know. I heard you're starting to run the clips and everything.
That's
so.
All I do. I run the whole page. I mean,
now you know what to do. You can start doing that
for
the Sportsman. You're going to be catching a groove in no time.
If people are loving the clips recently, it's all me, guys.
I promise you this. If you agree that you'll help, you know, get in the clips, some clips from every week, I will create the Sportsman podcast or Instagram page. And okay, together perfect. We can start to grow this thing. We can start budding it like a little plant and watching it grow and just really watching it just flourish before our eyes.
The only thorn in my side is the YouTube. I fucking can't stand it. It doesn't even take that long. It's just an extra bit of editing. But anyway, I want to get back to the 400 faithful who just came out in spades this week. It was a beautiful thing. And I'm not even sure why. I think we've had better episodes, but they really showed up. I think maybe because we were a little inconsistent. They were chanting us on to not give up on it. And it really lit a fire underneath us. And it's been great, honestly. It's been, those 400 are just beautiful.
The DMs beautiful. I send almost every DM I get to Ticket, and I think he gets teary-eyed after every single one.
Well, you want to know the truth? I think about all the ones you send me, and then I'd be like, I bet there are some he isn't sending me.
There are those. I mean,
no, I mean that are mean.
No, honest to God. I will hand to God, I don't think I've had one negative comment about the Sportsman. Maybe it's because we only have 400 people listening, but I mean.
You know what I was thinking about? And I did want to bring this up on the top of the show instead of the bottom, because you don't know if people listen the whole way through. I hope they do, and I think they do, but let's put it in the front. Is, you know, when you used to see those ads about dogs or you donate to something, just if everyone could donate $1. If every single one of those 400 took 5 seconds out of their day, scroll at the bottom of the Apple podcast, just hit 5 stars. You don't have to leave a comment. That would go a long way for us. That would go a long way. But if you don't get to it, we'll still love you. We'll always be here for you. But
I mean, these are real ones. The people who listen to this podcast are like day oneers. They're like the real, you know, they're like a foundation of a mansion. You know what I mean? You might not see them. They might not get the recognition they deserve. But without the foundation, nothing else will cease to exist. You lose a good foundation, the house crumbles. And the 400 faithful are like that foundation. They really just help keep us rooted. And you know, one day if this podcast does take off, which would be wonderful, you know, those people will be able to say that they were able to witness something special from the ground up, which, I mean, is pretty awesome to be able to witness something like that, no?
If we could get to a place where we're getting 10,000, 50,000 downloads.
Well, let's.
I'm just saying, I wish there was like a follower list so I could write down these 400. And if we ever got to that place, just send each of them a little care pet, just like a shirt and something, just because these guys are what keep us going right now. And it's wonderful. And it's been fantastic.
Yeah. One of my best friends from back home, Barazol, he's one of the 400 faithful. He's watched every episode since day one. He said he was actually going to reach out to you. I don't know if he did or not, but he said, he's like, yeah, you know, the Ticket guy, he's got good podcast skills. I was like, I think he would love to hear that. I really
certainly would, because you're talking about a guy who hates his voice and hates his laugh, but he loves to hear himself talk.
Yes.
But I wanted to speak, well, before we get into some sports, man, last week we spoke, you just dropped a huge Foreplay pod. Today, as we're recording, you dropped the good match.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, forget about the numbers for a minute, because they're fantastic. Just the quality of the episode. It was amazing.
Jet's really catching a groove, no?
And Cutsy put on a clinic.
I don't know why I don't play better like that more often. I really believe, like, of the mind frame, like, when I have to rise to the challenge, when it's like a more important match, I just, or like we're playing better players or like the chips are down, I normally rise to the occasion. I don't know why I can't just make that the standard of my play moving forward, but I was able to hang in to the point where like them giving us a stroke, a hole was really not, you know, if we're being honest, it was really not fair, because we were parring a lot of these holes, meaning that they had to birdie. And I mean, it was just, you know, Bob's putter has been unbelievable. But aside from that, I don't know where he was this last match. He struggled. But, you know, the thing is we have really good camaraderie too. Like, so, you know, one of us is playing bad, we can kind of keep each other at even keel and kind of keep the morale up, which goes a long way. And then he'll make a big putt, which helps us out. And, you know, and I don't know. I thought the episode was, you know,
the
overall
fact that
was really good.
You showed up for him when he, because I pretty much started golfing with Bob from day one for him and sort of me. And he needed a lot of work. And I'll be the first to tell you, this guy has come a long way. He has become a really, really good golfer. But if I recall, the night before this good match, you and really him got legendarily fucked up, which is something Bob does not normally
We normally do not. We went out and had a night on the town. And
you got to say, outside of the putter, it really showed on the golf course the next day. It really did. But he hit some huge putts,
though. I think the reason he did is because we didn't have a round to, like, I don't think we played till like, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So, So the reason why, because he could kind of sleep in and still kind of get over it. And
yeah,
by the way, have you been to Dallas, Texas?
I've flown in. I've been to Austin plenty of times. I have not been to Dallas.
Dallas is a great spot, man.
Really?
The people are chill. Like, the women are beautiful, like, good vibes. We went to this really awesome spot the one night. We were having a blast. And the whole trip was just kind of great. We went to this unreal steakhouse called Nick and Sam's. I mean, the vibes were unbelievable. It was a great time. And you know what? Working with those guys was awesome. They're really good guys. I didn't realize they were so young. They're like 23 years old and 22 years old, and they're crushing it. So nothing but love to those guys. The collabs just hit differently, man. They are just so great, because these are the guys who are, you know, between Good Good and Foreplay Pod, who are at the top of the, you know, of in terms of the YouTube world, they're at the top. So working with these guys, it just gets so much exposure for Bob to Sports. And I mean, our video is over 100,000 in like 7 hours. It's crushing. It's by far our best video. So if you haven't listened already, go check it out on YouTube. It's Bob Does Sports. We play the good guys. And I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, the thing with us is we just have fun. So, like, even though I did play very good golf that day, I mean, just like the vibes are really funny. And it's
well, that's what I was going to say, is even though Bob was so hungover, you wouldn't be able to tell by him in the video. He looks alive. He is so fucking funny, as he always is. But I was expecting, he told me he was hungover. Maybe you can see. I couldn't tell at all. He was he was fucking funny, as he is and as you are, but you weren't so fucked up. And it was a great episode. They all are. Like Joe said, Bob Does Sports, it's the best subscribe you can hit on YouTube right now. Go watch it. Go watch all of them, but go watch that one and enjoy the ride, man, because it is fucking funny.
I appreciate that, Tick. That was a nice little shout out to Bob Does Sports. I appreciate that. Now, can we get rolling? There's a lot of stuff we need to talk about. And I think before we even start, I just need to know. And, you know, it's funny, because I was watching the last two games, and I was watching and just observing Doc Rivers and his game plan and his schemes. And, like, I'm like, Ticket must be losing his shit right now, because I don't know. Like, he just looks like he's just sitting out there. And like, he's not coaching. I don't know what he's doing out there. They're getting pulverized. And like, it's like, I don't know what he's doing. There's no adjustments. There's no, like, he's not making any changes, like, in his lineups. Like, what do you have to say, Tick? Like, do you think you still have a chance in the series?
Zero chance. But let me talk a little bit about this fucking guy, Doc Rivers. Before I get to James Harden, who I really want to talk about, because I've spoken ad nauseum about Doc, but this guy might as well be sleeping with the fishes. This guy is sleepwalking his way up and down the court. It's unbelievable. As you said, zero changes. This guy doesn't see that maybe we're playing a little small and they're beating us down in the paint and make any sort of adjustment. He makes zero adjustments. He gives zero speeches to pump the guys up. It's unbearable. Now, let me get to James Harden, because this guy is a useless bag of trash, man. Trash pickup is tomorrow, and he better be ready, because he is absolutely, he's as useless as a white crayon. I mean, I don't know what you can do with him. He is.
There are white crayons, by the way.
I know there are. And what can you do with them? All paper is white. It's just unbelievable how this guy went from being, even in with the Nets this year, he played well. If I have to watch him go 4 for 17 one more time and one from seven from 3-point line, I mean, I'm going to lose it, man. This guy, Tobias Harris, who has been a useless tit all fucking year, man. He's stepping up for us.
Tyrese, he's playing Maxey, well, yeah.
Maxey for us. Matisse Thybul playing good defense. James Harden is nowhere to be.
Well, they're double teaming him, and he's not figuring it out. I think he's got to facilitate more. He's trying to take these deep step back threes and shots. He's got to drive the lane. When the double comes, he's got to kick it out quicker and just be smarter with the ball. Problem is, he doesn't really offer much on the defensive end of the ball. So if he's not providing, you know, offensive, you know, aid to the team, like, he's really just kind of doing not much out there. Like, I don't know.
I don't know if you were trying to ruffle my feathers last night, but you told me I was being Chicken Little, that we still had a chance.
You do still have a chance.
Zero chance, Kutchie. I don't know. how you can see
Embiid is going to play next game. You're going to be at home.
I don't think he is, first of all.
If you win next game, which I think you can, by the way, all of a sudden it's a 2-1 series. You're right back in the series. You're talking like it's over. You've missed your best player the last two games. By the way, Adebayo is crushing you guys down low. He is dominating like crazy. And it's killing. I know, but I'm saying having no Embiid is the reason that he's just dominating. This is where Drummond would have been huge for you guys to
have. And now we have DeAndre Jordan, and it's like he might as well not even be there.
He can't keep up. Like, he's too slow. Like, Adebayo is just blowing by him, and he's dominating inside the paint. Butler is getting anything and everything he wants within that mid-range. And you guys got – I mean, I think if Embiid comes back, I really, really believe that you can win this next game. Yeah, I mean, I just – he provides so much to your team.
Of course, of course. But first of all, you don't know how healthy he's going to be. Second of all –
he's going to play. They're going to put him out there no matter what.
It looks extremely doubtful. It looks extremely doubtful, the last thing I read a couple hours ago. It does not look good that he's going to play. But even if he did, 2-0 is a huge hole that even if we get back in the series, we got to go win in Miami. And I just think this is so far out of our reach. James Harden is basically – being paid by the other team. He's not playing for us anymore. And Doc Rivers, I don't think he ever left your restaurant when he came to eat back in February. This guy is not even
I will
fucking
say
there.
Spoelstra is out coaching him big time. Like, it's not even close. And by the way, the scary thing is Kyle Lowry has not touched a basketball the last two games. I know. And he is a big time player. I can't believe I underestimated how good the Heat are. Like,
just I don't think they are that good, quite honestly.
I think that they're pretty good. They have a lot of depth. Oladipo is really good from the bench. Of course. And like, and some of these secondary heroes playing well. Adebayo, Butler, you bring Laurie. I mean, they have guys who know how to play together and who provide offense and who are solid. But I don't think the series is over, Ticket. If Embiid plays, I think you can win the next game.
Well, I'm glad you
agree with that.
I completely disagree. I completely disagree.
You think that if Embiid plays, that they don't have a chance to win the next game?
Not that we don't have a chance. We could win that game. I think we're out of the series. We don't even know they're rushing this concussion, man, and he's already got a torn thumb. I just don't know how useful he's going
to
be.
It all translates back to Doc Rivers. What in God's name was Embiid doing on the floor when you're winning the game by 20 to 30 points against the Raptors last game?
He did it all year, too. He did it all year, leaving Embiid in.
Have him on the floor. I don't get it. If he takes him off the floor, you have him for the start of the series. And I'll be honest, you could have easily won one of those two games with Embiid in.
Oh, easily.
You can't double. You
I
can't
think we're
double
up
2-0 James
with
Harden.
A healthy Embiid. I think we're up 2-0.
I think it's at least 1-1.
Certainly. I think we're up 2-0. I'm not as high on this Heat team as you are. I think they're a good team. I think they're one of those teams that wears you out for the next series and you'll be lesser for it. But I do think if the Bucks were playing them, if the Celtics were playing them, and if Embiid was healthy, all three of those teams are wiping their ass with the fucking Heat, man. I don't think they're good enough to beat any of those three teams.
Really?
I like that they're deep, but we've seen teams with massive talent always beat these deeper, more complete teams. It's just sort of the way of basketball in the future. And I just don't think they're that good, man. I really don't. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great team.
From what I've seen so far in the Eastern Conference, the way that Giannis can dominate a game, I think the Bucks could come out of the East again.
I think so too.
He's just so good. And by the way, you know, they're missing Middleton, who is their second best player. I mean, once he comes back, he's going to be bringing a lot of secondary scoring and a lot more. The Celtics are good. I don't think that they're going to beat the Bucks in that series.
No, I think the Bucks are a clear, obvious pick to come out of the East now that Embiid's gone, man. I don't think anyone's getting
Giannis. It's a 1-1 series, so we'll see what happens. But it's been fun. I tell you what, the NHL playoffs are on right now and the NBA playoffs are on right now. And I'll be honest, as a Canadian, I love hockey, but I am just nonstop with the NBA right now because it's more, I don't know. I'm enjoying it more. I'll like flip in between and watch some hockey. Now, if the Canucks were in it, it would be a different story. I'm rooting for Edmonton. I'm rooting for Calgary. I should be rooting for the Leafs. They're a Canadian team, but they can go fuck themselves. And bottom line is, you know, I love the NHL and I love the playoffs. And there was an unbelievable game the other night with the Penguins and Rangers that went to triple overtime. But it's just NBA playoffs right now is really fun. There's, for the first time in a long time, there is parity amongst the league, which is awesome. I think that it's been missing for a long time where there's like teams that can go head to head. Like that Warriors Memphis Grizzlies game the other day was unbelievable. Yeah. It was so fun. And to watch a budding star like Ja Morant drop 47 points and just take over and beat a team that has been proven in the playoffs. I mean, it's just fun to watch right now. It's like all of the series are fun, but like, I don't know. And by the way, I don't think anybody is touching Phoenix right now. They look so fucking good. If we're talking about my clear-cut team to win right now, this team is firing. And Chris Paul looks like he is ready, you know. And I told you this before. I thought that, you know, maybe the Mavs might win one game of the series. It's just so evident. Luka Doncic played out of his freaking mind last game up until the second half. And they still, I mean, they just don't have enough depth. This team is too good between Booker and Chris Paul. And by the way, what's his name? Aiden was out most of the game.
Yeah.
Like, but he can dominate down low too. And then you get Crowder when he starts playing well. And then you have, you know, Bridges and then what's his name? Payne. I mean, they just have a lot of guys who can fill in their roles and they're really good. I think if I had to say it right now, I think Bucks Suns is what I would say looks to me just on paper as the two best teams right now.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And the Warriors will give them a tough bout. And the best shot the Bucks have at beating the Suns is the Warriors and Suns going at each other to a game seven. That's the best shot the Bucks will have.
You think there's no chance the Grizzlies can beat the Warriors?
I think Ja's going to have to do what he did last night or two nights ago, whatever that was, drop 47 every single night. And they barely won. I don't think he's going to be able, as exciting and great as he is, I don't think there's a better show right now on the court than him, but I don't see him doing 47 for another three games.
Well, Dylan Brooks got ejected. By the way, can we also talk while we're talking basketball? These flagrant fouls and ejections are getting out of control. Now, I get the Draymond Green one. I can see that. Mm-hmm. The Dylan Brooks ejection to me is outrageous. I thought it was at max a flagrant one. What do you think? Do you think, by the way, they're looking at calling flagrants now way more than they ever have before?
Know,
it slows the game down.
Yeah.
It's awful, man. It kills the vibe. And then bottom line is it's like players are getting ejected for stuff that I don't even think is, you know, like if you're getting a flagrant two, you should be whacking a guy across the chops, like purposely. I mean, what do you think? Do you disagree with me on that Brooks ejection?
Well, first of all, I do agree with you. I think there should be a human element in all sports. I mean, sometimes they make the right call. Sometimes they make the right call. And I do agree that sometimes instant replay helps us out. You should have some challenges. But to be cutting away for these long-ass throws to New York to take a better look and figure this out just slows the game down, and it sucks. I missed this Dylan Brooks thing. Walk me through
it. You missed it?
Yeah, tell some of the people too. Maybe some of the people missed it. What totally happened?
Gary
here?
Payton Jr. was going. I missed it. We had a phenomenal golf day, but we were finishing up, and we had been we had put a little wager on. We took. I said I like Memphis Grizzlies money line.
Right.
We took it, so we were checking in. We went after golf and we were watching, and I saw on the phone that Dylan Brooks got ejected. So I went to YouTube. And I looked at it. It was like early on in the first quarter. What had happened is Gary Payton Jr. went up to go for like a layup or a dunk. And he kind of like tried to block him, but in the process, like pushed him down from behind as he was going up. And so he dropped to the floor. And I mean, I just don't, the fact that they gave him a flagrant two and kicked him out of the game, to me, it felt an awful lot like a makeup call for the fact that they had thrown out Draymond the game before.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I just don't think you should be getting ejected from a game unless there's something so blatantly like just outrageous. And again,
you
playoffs. Have to think too, they slow it down to like slow motion and then they analyze the play. you have to understand sometimes these are bang bang plays, and you cannot go under the premise that the player is intentionally trying to do something more than what is appearing when you're breaking it down frame by frame. Like oftentimes these are such fast paced plays that, you know, a player is trying to get the ball and inadvertently hits the guy. It's not like he's swiping him across the neck, trying to bring him down. Like, right. And I think that you hit it when you said the human element, like that needs to be taken into account, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's just like people pay to watch these players. Now, maybe not Dylan Brooks is one of the better players on Memphis. Maybe it's not a good example, but like when people pay money to go to the games, they're paying to watch the players play. The Draymond Greens and these guys, and to remove them from a game, it has to be, in my mind, like just blatantly, like outright, that someone is trying to injure another player,
especially like, in the playoffs. It has to be, you have to be even more careful in the playoffs, man, because those tickets are even more pricey, and these games have much larger impacts on what happens with these organizations and these teams. But dude, that what you just explained is it gets under my skin in the NFL season every year because they get so, as they should. It's good with these head-to-head rules. You shouldn't be doing that. But like you said, sometimes there are these bang bang plays, and these running backs and these receivers are so quick to move where their head is. Some of these D-backs and safeties and linebackers are flying in, and they go where they're lunging at them to hit them where their head isn't. But then all of a sudden, within a split second, their head is there now because they're trying to make a move, and they call it on the defensive back. Yeah, they say, you know,
well, that's a double-edged sword of technology, right? You got to say like it helps out, but at the same time slows the game down. It kills teams. It's, you know, it's like, yes, it's great to have, but sometimes it does affect the game. It makes certain calls bad. And like, listen, these refs are making calls in real time. Like, you can't see things slow down when it's happening bang bang like that. So I just think throwing players out of a game, it needs to be something a lot worse than what we've seen. And we've seen two now in two games in one series. Right. To me, that's a bit outrageous.
Yeah. You got to see Ron Artest hit a fucking fan. Yeah, that warrants getting through.
you wind back the clock in the hands of time, and you go back to like the late 90s, early 2000s, man. Guys, Shaquille O'Neal was getting fucking hacked to shit. Yep. Like going up to the paint. Now you can't even get bumped. These guys are looking for fouls. And while we're on the topic, the other thing that pisses me the fuck off is you cannot see a ref make a call anymore without four guys complaining about the foul. Oh. It's like, give me a break. Go. Draymond is walking. Yep. He's walking along the sidelines with the ref, screaming and shouting and complaining. And it's like, bro, at what point do you just say, yes, that was a foul, I can accept it? It's like every foul is contested. And it's like, shut up. Like, just put your hand up, take the foul, and walk to the fucking free throw line. They're not going to overturn the call. So, like, at what point is making an argument going to, you know, now they have the replay. So if you really feel that strongly, instead of talking to the ref, go to the coach and say, please challenge this. This is not a foul. But I just feel like the whining and the complaining, you know, as great as NBA has been, that element is ridiculous. You don't see that in any other sport. Like,
well, it's becoming more and more like soccer. But I gain so much respect for a player, and it happens less and less each year. But when they make a clear foul and they just raise their hand, I love that. I immediately am like, it's my fucking guy right there, man. Accountability. Accountability, dude. It's great. But they usually also only do it when it's so egregious, like, I can't even fucking fight that. I mean, yeah, but I tackled that guy.
It's I don't know. Things like that just drive me nuts. It's like, you don't see in hockey, you don't see that. They make a penalty, they go to the box, they might tell the ref he's a fucking asshole, but they skate to the box while they let him
fight it out first, which is the best.
Yes!
Yeah, you get to fight it out.
We had this discussion before. You said, you know, maybe there needs to be some, you know, a little roughhousing in some of these sports, you know? These guys have a lot of aggression. They're big guys going fucking full on against each other, and, you know, God forbid you tap somebody on the forearm, it's a foul.
Yeah. Yeah, I made that point early on when there's probably only the 200 faithful, you know, that all these sports that you, there should be like, but you know, with hockey, you know, they got the pads and shit, but you know, I think it does help take out a lot of the anger. And I think you get to move the game along a lot faster and it gets some of the anger out and adds chippiness later on in the game. And speaking of, now that you sort of touched on hockey, did you see what happened in the Bruins game last night?
I watched some of it. I mean, the Bruins are getting spanked, which is wonderful.
Smacked around.
I mean, the Canes are a really good team. They lost their goalie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Did you see Pasta run right into him and sort of take a shot?
By the way, I had Antti Raanta over saves on Prize Picks. I was losing my shit. Because it would have put me at 4 out of 5. I would have won some cash. You know, and it's like, of course, the time I take the goalie goes flying. And, you know, a lot of the times, and I was a goalie, so you embellish it. You wait till the ref makes a call. You put him in there. You look like you're all hurt. And then you get up and you go back in the net. This guy skated off the fucking ice. He never came back. I was like, oh, he's coming back. He's fine. He looks okay. No, guy's gone for the rest of the game. I was losing my shit, Dick. But I mean, I don't know. I did see what happened. I don't know if it was like an egregious play. It was definitely a penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like he was trying to avoid him and he kind of fell into him. Now, if it was Marchand,
I
would say it's, this guy's a piece of shit. This is where the reputation precedes you, right?
Yep.
Pastrnak is not a guy who is known for being dirty or making tough plays. He's a goal scorer. He's a guy, you know, who's revered in the league, and he's not a dirty player. He's got a good, you know, good head on his shoulders, you would think. So I don't think he was trying to do anything, but I mean,
I think that goalie's kind of a pussy.
Antti Raanta has hurt more often than any other goalie in the last 3 years.
Hardly touched him. And it looked like it kind of,
what did they say? What was the injury anyways? It looked like he kind of skipped on his leg and fell down. And I thought, oh, he's going to be fine.
But if you look at it in slow motion, it's like he hardly even touched him. And now they're saying he's doubtful or questionable for the next game.
I mean, I don't start him. Start the guy who came in. By the way, this Russian guy who came in, he's like 6'5", doesn't speak a word of English.
Yeah.
And the guy comes in and he played pretty damn good. You gotta think they're missing Frederik Andersen, who's their number one goalie. Yeah. Then they put in their backup, who Raanta is very good. I mean, he might be a pussy, but he's a very good goalie.
Yeah.
And then he gets knocked out, and then it's the third man up. And by the way, they had an emergency goalie who was getting ready in like the referee's room because they didn't have room for him in the fucking locker room. They panned into him. The guy looked scared shitless. Like, if this Russian guy goes down, we're fucked.
Well, he was eating pork and rice. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I didn't think I was going in.
I did not realize. I mean, the Canes really look good. I thought Boston would. I mean, they're getting blown out. Well,
did you see later on in the game, Svechnikov gave Lindholm a fucking shot. And it wasn't dirty. It was just a great hit. And I think he knocked him right out of the playoffs.
I love how chippy playoff hockey is. It's fun to watch. They are just these guys. I mean, you want to talk about a trophy that's hard to win, the Stanley Cup. It's like going for blood, man. You have got to be tough as nails to get through some of these series because there's just no holding back. Like if you're in the corner, you're getting smashed into the boards. Yep. It's fun to watch. And again, I'm not watching as much as I should be. I'm definitely rooting for the Oilers and for the Flames because I just think that the Cup needs to come back to Canada.
Well, it might, dude. Toronto looks fucking
– I hope
Toronto looks amazing. Colorado looks amazing. And Florida, they're down 1-0. I think the Expo just won. But those three teams are the clear, like, most talented.
Colorado is no joke.
Stacked,
they were up like 5-0 in the first period of the first game. I mean, these guys are on a different level. But we'll see. I mean, you have teams like – don't count Tampa Bay out. That's all I'm going to say is like – the Leafs are a hard first-round matchup. They are a very good team, but it's 1-1. They split the series. They got the win on the road. If Tampa Bay wins this, I mean, they could be going for a three-peat. That's crazy.
Yeah.
To think. Like, you know, and they have some of the – I mean, they have the players to do it with Hedman and Kucherov and Stamkos and, like, Point. And, like, these guys are good hockey players, man. Don't forget Killorn, friend of the pod. I talked to Killorn.
That's
He's a
right.
great guy.
That's
yeah.
right.
So, like, yeah, you know what? I mean, I wouldn't like to see them three-peat, but at least, you know, Killorn showing some love to the, to, you know, to the podcast is great. But the hockey playoffs are great. It's just, I don't know. Right now I'm all in on NBA. I think it's really exciting. And I don't know, the hockey is just like, I don't know. Tonight is no NBA. It's just hockey. And I don't know if I'm going to tune in too much. I'll probably watch a little bit of hockey, but like if NBA was in on tonight, I'd be dialed in right now. Be absolutely dialed. You know, Tegan, I want to transfer our thought process here for a second. And I want to get your thoughts on something that is very, we're talking a lot about rules and shit today. And I like it because I'm going to continue that whole spiel. Here's something I can't get over. Okay. We're going to talk about the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for 6 weeks for performance enhancing drugs or PEDs, whatever. I don't know what the term is for it. 6 weeks, he's out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Calvin Ridley bets on one game of football and is out for the year. How the fuck does that equate? Where one guy's literally taking enhancing drugs that impact his performance on the field, but another guy bet on a game and is gone for the year. Does mm-hmm. that not, is that not ridiculous to you?
It's completely ridiculous.
I think it's outrageous. And, mm-hmm. and I don't understand what the thought process is here, but if you're going to suspend a guy for a year for betting on a game, and I don't even know if the game was a game that he was involved in, to be mm-hmm. honest, but another guy is taking enhancing drugs that's going to make him better than the guys he's playing against.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, Goodell?
The only reason you should ever be suspended for a year for betting is if you were betting against yourself and you're in the game and you're throwing that game. And I believe when I read what happened with Calvin Ridley, it was when he had already taken his mental health leave and he was betting on like NBA or I don't know.
No, it was NFL. It was NFL.
But it was not a game that he was involved
not
in.
Not to and, my knowledge,
he
no.
He was away from the team. He was not getting insider information.
And this was a guy who had claimed that he had mental health and he was away, like yeah. you said. I mean,
yeah, betting's not the best way to cure your mental health.
I'm not saying Calvin Ridley's an idiot, but that aside, I mean, it yeah, just doesn't make sense to me.
I agree. Know? It's now, unbelievable. Now,
Pete Rose was betting on his own game, so I think that that's different.
But he was betting for him to win. He was
because he was so much
himself.
Better than everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, well, life, no,
it was when
like
he was
say,
a manager. He wasn't even playing, though. It was when he was a manager.
I thought it was when he was. Oh,
no,
it was when he was a manager
and he was betting on himself.
And by the way, the fact that they keep him out of the Hall of Fame is outrageous.
It's probably the most egregious thing ever. I've ever heard in sports is that man who is the all-time hits leader, I think he's above Ty Cobb.
I think he's
above Ty Cobb, and he
Ripken Jr.'s got to be up there too. No,
no, he's got the Iron Man thing. I think he's got 3,000 hits, but he's nowhere near the top. It's Ty Cobb, and I believe Pete Rose has the most, man. And to keep him out of the
it's outrageous
Hall of Fame because he's betting on himself as a manager. You could because people also go into the Hall as managers and they go in as players. Fine, keep him out as a manager. He did no betting as a player. Put him in there.
Yeah,
this
guy.
The fuck we doing?
This guy's got the royal fuck job.
I clearly mean, fucked the wrong guy's daughter. Like maybe the fucking
something happened.
It's unbelievable. It's not right, is what it is. It's not.
But
right.
this is my point. Now this Calvin Ridley thing is the same right. shit. I don't understand that. Like to me, it's just like. To me, I'm just airing my grievances here mm-hmm. with the fucking different leagues. And how they're being misrun.
Do you think if it was Amari Rodgers who got that, do you think he's out a year? Do you think it's the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is one or two the best wide receivers in the league? And they're like, well, we need him back for excitement.
Yeah, but so, Calvin Ridley's no fucking.
No, I know, but he's not Calvin DeAndre Ridley's Hopkins.
No, I understand that. But he was before this whole mental. I don't know what the hell is going on. And by the way. Right. I said he's a joke. I wish this young man obviously has some serious issues mm-hmm. and I wish him nothing but the best. I don't want to make it sound like I'm uncompassionate. But I mean, he's clearly got some issues. But before that, he was one of the better play. You'd say he's the top 20, top 30 receiver in the league. The mm-hmm. 1 year he was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was dominating. Great.
And so it's not like he's just a joke. But right. Yes, I do agree. In the NFL, it's a product that people want to see the best players play. It's the same reason why Aaron Rodgers did not get the same treatment and did not get suspended for multiple games when he inadvertently left out the truth about whether or not he had received a vaccine. And listen, I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers supporter, but he should have been punished. He should have received more than whatever it was, a fine or whatever, because there were other players like Wentz and other players in the league who had to, be upheld to a certain standard and had to, take constant tests and had to wear masks in the press conference and all the 9 yards because they weren't vaccinated. And meanwhile, Aaron just kind of did his own shit. But bottom line is it's a product. People want to watch the best players play. DeAndre Hopkins is a top three receiver, if not higher, in the league. So yes, I get it. But to me, it's just a double standard, man. It doesn't make sense. It's not fair. And, quite frankly, I don't know. And everybody knows this PEDs thing that you're going to get suspended. I don't understand. What are these guys thinking in their head that they're going to be able to be the one guy who is able to sweep it under the rug and it's not going to get caught? They're not going to get tested.
And when you look at some of these guys, the linebackers in the league, you're telling me the only guy who's taking PEDs?
DK Metcalf should be getting PED tested every week.
Yeah. This guy's saying he's eating gummy worms and
this guy's like having candy and he looks like he was chiseled out of granite. I mean, it's ridiculous, bro. Like, that is not a normal body. That thing is sculpted by the gods. I can't lose 20 pounds. This guy can't lose one of his 8-packs. It's chiseled in stone, man. It's unbelievable. Like, these guys are not real life. Like, it's outrageous.
I don't know why. You might have a different opinion. Let them all roid it up if they want, man. I'd love to see a football league where just these linebackers are...
Someone would die. Someone would die. These guys are already... Did you see, by the way, was it the Lions who got the guy out of Georgia? No, it was Eagles who got the guy out of Georgia. You know what his 40 was? It's outrageous. Yeah. This is a 300-plus pound man running a 40 in less than 5 seconds.
Yeah, 4-7.
I couldn't run a 40 in like 10 seconds. The way that I'm in shape right now. This guy's got like fucking 75 pounds on me, 80 pounds on me.
He's a beast.
And it's just outrageous how athletic players are getting nowadays. It's like we talked about this before, but imagine if they were all roided up. I mean, someone would die from a hit. Like, it would literally like knock their soul out of a body.
But what a big fucking hit it would be.
Maybe Vince McMahon would be running the league at that point. Who knows? I don't know, but it would be outrageous. My point is, it's like at some point, these guys got to be smart enough to know, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, you don't need to take PEDs. You're already fucking dominant. Like, what more do you expect? Like, how much more do you want to fucking dominate the league?
Well, it makes you wonder if he's been doing it for a while and he just now got caught.
I mean, they should have, I don't know if they actually do. I should look into it before saying this, but you would think that they have a mandatory testing before every training camp for all players.
Yeah, I don't know if they do I'm that. Sure they get some questionable tests back and they just sweep it under the rug. Yeah, it's like you said earlier, it's a product. They want to protect
it's
that product.
It's like the IRS. You could fuck your taxes up for a year or 2 years or maybe even three, but eventually they're going to catch on and it's going to come home to roost.
I couldn't think of a better analogy. That was great.
I mean, in DeAndre Hopkins' case, what the hell is 6 weeks? I mean, it's a fucking month and a half of vacation.
Yeah, man. And that team, it's not going anywhere, man. They'll be okay.
You don't think so? You don't think they're going to be a playoff team?
I think they'll come in last in the West.
No. They're not going to come last in their division. Seattle is not going to nearly.
Oh, I forgot Seattle's in that division.
Seattle's going to be trash, bro.
Yeah, they'll come in third, though, and they'll miss the playoffs.
Because they got the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks.
And the 49ers.
And the 49ers. By the way, that is a good division. I think the Rams will probably win the division again. The Niners, The Niners are going to be a playoff team. And I think, by the way, if Kyler Murray plays the way that he can, I definitely think Arizona could squeak into a playoff spot as well. Like, they have good players, man.
They just fell apart last year, even before the playoffs. The second half of the season was not the same as the first half. And it was,
they lost Christian Kirk and they got Marquise Brown. I mean, they're both comparable players. Oh, I mean,
they got Hollywood Brown. That's a nice addition.
A good addition. By the way, Packers could have used Hollywood Brown.
Certainly could have.
I guess Hollywood doesn't want to live in fucking Lambeau in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hollywood, Wisconsin Brown. That really wouldn't work. This guy would last 2 weeks. He'd be fucking demanding a trade.
Oh, man. Well, I got a question for you before we get out of here. Did you have any more burning topics with sports or anything?
I feel like I got a lot off my chest.
I think you did too. I have a question. I was standing in the line for the bank the other day, right? And I just catch a whiff of the guy in front of me. You know, we're not all 6 feet apart anymore. We're all in line. We're sort of on top of each other. I get a whiff of this guy. It smells good. This guy smells good. And I'm wondering, can you ask another man what cologne he's wearing?
No fucking way.
You can't, can you? You can't.
I mean, what are you going to say? You smell great. What are you using? And the guy's going to look at you like,
he's going to think I'm hitting on him, right?
I mean, you would think that it's like, if somebody's like, oh, you smell good. Like, telling someone they smell good is almost like saying, I'm aroused. Like, it's not far away. It's in the ballpark. Like, if you tell a girl, oh, you smell great. Like, that's a subtle hit. That's subtle. Like, you know, you're subtly hitting on the girl. Like, totally. And by the way, it's not even that subtle. It's a great play, by the way.
It is.
It's a lot easier telling a girl that she smells great than to say, hey, you're hot as hell. You know?
Yeah. Like, and the eyes too. The eyes is a great play too. They love
eyes is good. Eyes is good. I also would like to say sometimes you like use, you could throw in something like, oh, I love your shirt. Like if they have a logo shirt, like a t-shirt that is like, you know, has some kind of graphic tee or something, I'll be like, oh, I like your shirt. Would you, you know? Yeah. And then it's kind of like, I like a lot more than just the shirt, but I'm going to focus on the shirt because it's inadvertently hitting on you. Then she feels obliged to say, oh, thank you so much. And be like, oh yeah, how are you doing today? And then it's like naturally she kind of almost has to say, oh, well, I'm doing okay. And then you kind of slide in to that territory where you're starting and developing a conversation, and you could get away with it. I've gotten away with it. I've also got thanks, and then a quick turnaround and leave. At that point, you knew you never had a chance to begin with. So it's not really, it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. But yes, I don't think you could ever ask. You know, and here's another, I'll piggyback off this thing, but to a different extent. You ever go to Ross?
Sure, yeah.
I have a big bone to pick with Ross, okay? They sell colognes, but they put them in the case with the lock on it. Mm-hmm. How the fuck am I supposed to know what these different colognes smell like? I can't even, there's not a sample bottle, there's nothing. It's like, oh, this is Ferrari cologne, or this is this one, or this is fucking Dolce & Gabbana. That's fucking great. I don't know what the cologne smells like.
Yeah.
I will never purchase cologne from Ross unless I go in there knowing the cologne that I'm looking for and they have it. Because it's a fucking, it's like, a, you know, it's like playing Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. You could purchase that cologne, then take it and spray it on and it smells like dog shit.
I can't say I spent enough time in Ross to browse the cologne section.
Well, I've still frequented Ross enough. That's how you know Ross. The fucking deals aren't coming in still big enough. But you know the reason I love Ross? Here's the reason. It's not because I do all my shopping there, but you could find little gems. Like I found that.
I guarantee you that picture behind you is from Ross.
No fucking way. This picture, by the way, is like $300. That's from IKEA.
Shouldn't have been.
I know. Everybody thinks I'm on the
TJ Maxx, Home Goods? It's somewhere.
I got an IKEA.
Oh, okay. All right.
When I first moved to LA, I went through a big IKEA phase, and
IKEA's great. I love IKEA. I think
by the way, they got great food at the IKEA.
Meatballs, unbelievable.
They're underrated. They're really good. But yeah, no, my problem is it's like, or what I was saying about Ross is you can find little gems like t-shirts. It's like, you know, and you go there and it's like $9.99. I got a t-shirt. It was almost like a vintage shirt. It was like rappers with dogs. I think Bob put it on his story, and it's a hilarious shirt. looks awesome. I get a ton of comments on it, and it was $9. $9. Now, 90% of the stuff they have in there is trash. I won't even look at it. But, like, you'll find some gems. And, by the way, buying socks and potentially boxers sometimes, Ross, don't sleep on it. I got the Nike compression, like, boxers for working out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a set of three for like $19. Like, that's unheard of. You go to the Nike store, they're like $45 for three of those.
Now, there are some things you go to Ross for, and there's some things you don't. You don't go for cologne, but you do go for socks. And like you said, sometimes boxers, they're not used, people. They're in fucking bags. You can get Hanes, Nike. It's fantastic.
The sock game is unmatched at Ross.
It really is. What a bargain, you know? But let me just take this one step further. So then if I can't ask you guy what he's wearing, because I wanted to know, because I wanted to get me some, not because I'm hitting on him.
If you know the guy, you can definitely ask.
Of course, but I can't ask a stranger. But that does bring me to, now if it was Christmas time and I'm looking for a gift for you and you're a good friend of mine, I couldn't give you cologne. That would be you'd look at me like it's a weird gift.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's almost like saying you fucking stink. Here's some cologne. Fix it, buddy. I mean, it could come across that way. I mean,
I guess it could. It's like offering someone gum.
I've received cologne from my mom. Like, my mom's put it, like, it's ridiculous that we still do this, but we still do the stockings, like, every year for Christmas. And my mom will put, like, gift cards to, like, Tim Hortons and, like, different places, you know, like for food, like Starbucks gift cards. And then she'll throw in a cologne and she'll throw in some other stuff. And it's great. They're great stocking stuffers. But like, yeah, from a friend to a friend, here's some cologne.
Especially a guy friend to a guy friend. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to mix it up. But so you're a 36-year-old man still getting the stocking?
I turned 36 in a month. Yes. And yes, I get a stocking every year, and I'm very proud of it.
My mom, great mom, man. She's
my mom puts a gem. Mandatory mandarin orange in every stocking I've ever had. It has to come, and then there'll be like normally lifesavers come in there. My mom likes to throw in some chocolates, so like a Kit Kat or you know Reese's or like a couple things like that. Then there's the gift cards are great. You know, like, normally I'll get like a Starbucks one, sometimes McDonald's, different things like that. Tim Hortons when I'm back home, those are fucking fire. And then, this year I got a little card, you know, and inside I got a check for like $3,000. So that was a great stock.
What? You went from Kit Kats and lifesavers to a
$3,000 that doesn't happen often. It was like, we have a stock called DNN Investments, and I guess we had a good year. So
that's a good time to invest, people. DNN Investments.
DeMar nieces and nephews investments. My dad's president of the company. So, but yeah, no, that's not normal. But normal, there's like little goodies in there.
Say not.
Socks, by the way, socks are a big one. My mom will get me, you know, the Nike socks, like the dry fit socks are good.
Right.
Getting a stocking is great because I still get the present.
Right.
We still get it, you know, it's still like from Santa Claus. And it's like, we know it's mom and dad, but it's just, I don't know. We're young at heart at the DeMar household.
Yeah. I've been out on my own since I was 12.
Talk about a tale of two guys just going drastically different places.
Oh, but I might have a smart water jacket there waiting for me whenever I come back.
Yeah, I got to look. I got a medium for sure. I don't know if that's going to fit you. And I got
a I'll find a way to fit into it. I'll find a way.
Ticket's not going to eat for a week to fit into that fucking jacket. It feels great. Very airy. By the way, you know what the other thing is you need to get on? And I got to find out a way to get more. The Brady brand golf stuff is.
Dude, that polo Bob wore last episode was fire, dude.
They sent us a jacket. This jacket feels like it was woven by 10 Egyptian fucking mistresses. And like, it's just like silk. It's so fucking beautiful, man. This guy.
Now, what I did want to ask you, you both got a personalized card from him, but was it personalized? Did his say something different than yours?
No, I think it said the same thing. It just had one name was Joey and one name was Bob.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, I don't give a shit.
No,
the fact that they sent me something was in and of itself amazing. That box, by the way, probably cost like $600.
It had a little
turf in it. The pants alone were like $200. Not only the turf, they had Pro V1 balls that had graphic encrypted on the side of the ball said Brady.
I know you call that, you call that class.
Yeah, you call it having too much time and money on your hands. The guy probably made the box while he was retired and then finished it after he decided to come back to the league.
It's a nice touch.
It's a very nice touch. I think we've reached the end of our episode
we
here, Ticket.
Have.
We're talking about Ross and Cologne and Brady Boxing.
But it was fun, man.
Overall, we covered a good amount of topics from the sports. Moving forward, I wish your Sixers nothing but the best. Hopefully this time next week when we retouch base, you know, it's a 3-2 or 2-2, you know, series, and they could be right back in it.
Boy, that would be nice, man. That would be absolutely nice. I don't count on it, but I'd love to see it. This was a great episode, man. I had a lot of fun, and I think we're gonna maybe even make this thing 500 faithful soon. But we love
let's
the
get
400,
some clips and let's keep going. And
we'll get some clips. We'll keep going. But another great episode, man. That is Joey Coldcuts. I am the Big Ticket, and we are the Sportsmen. Till next week, folks.